Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here.
Reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance.
Like your first home expansion.
Or your first big lightning strike.
There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents.
Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Today on a chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, growing up in a haunted home seemed like a normal life to some. To the outside world, though, this house of horrors was anything but. Strange noises, glowing figures, and pets being disturbed by unseen entities were just part of everyday life. We hear that story and much more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown.
Right.
And quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It was not an EVP at the beginning of the show. That was Harper blinking at me in a very creepy way, and I was about to say, why are you doing that, thinking my mic was muted, but it was not. Hey, if you like the program and you want to become an extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get access to all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes of the show. You also get access to what is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, all of them, all commercial-free. Get it? Patreon.com or the Patreon app, patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Link also there to Patreon as well. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. I know you're starting to kind of get excited because in many ways, it's turning into the most wonderful time of the year.
Halloween!
As I know it's only like August 11th, but the store displays of Halloween stuff are beginning to pop up, which is lovely because usually by the first week of Halloween, it's already gone to Christmas or the first week of October, it's already gone to Christmas. So you kind of got to get your Halloween stuff in almost like a month before Halloween as far as shopping for it. So, yeah, I'm excited about it.
I am too. I'm excited for instead of jingle bells, it's knock on doors, trick or treat away.
That's good, because there was a lot of other rhymes I could have just come up with there that would not be remotely appropriate.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. But I'm excited because I love decorating for Halloween. And we have, over the last couple of years, made a nice little collection of some creepy stuff. I got these great gravestones through Etsy that this one person did, and they look so real and so much better than just like the ones you get at like the Home Depot or something. And I just love them. So we got this whole like kind of cemetery makeup thing that we do. We got an old baby stroller like from the like 1890s.
It's sitting in the garage and it's horrifying me every time I walk past it just to get popsicles from the freezer.
If you ever want to discourage your children from going and getting sweets from the garage freezer, just put an 1890s baby carriage in front of it, along with a baby doll that looks very creepy. Trust me, they will cut back. The amount of drumsticks you have to buy in summer goes down dramatically. The amount of popsicles, all of it goes way, way down. Just kind of one of those tips that, you know, I like to give.
Halloween tips and tricks.
As
for
a parent.
Your kids.
And that's, you know, I just like to, I like to help out fellow parents.
The more you know.
If you're from the 90s, you will know exactly what that was.
Yet that meme has still come back and a lot of people still understand it.
Wasn't as ingrained in y'all though. It was always like going back into a TV show. There'd be, you know, somebody standing there is like, "Hi, I'm Steve Urkel. Don't lick toilet seats because it's very, very bad for you." and it could give you diseases. And then, you know, cue the... And then usually the actor, like, is smiling and, like, pointing at the logo, the NBC logo. And, yeah, for some reason, somebody thought that those sort of things were effective. Or did anything. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter today. It says, first off, I just want to say I love your podcast. Never been a podcast person, so thank you for making someone or making something for people to enjoy. I live in Kentucky, or I've lived in Kentucky my whole life, and paranormal stuff happens around me a lot. The story I'm going to tell you is about my home on Melbourne Avenue in Louisville, Kentucky. It was an old white house with a small front porch, two bedrooms on the first floor, in between the bathrooms. There was a basement and an attic. My little sister had one of the main floor bedrooms, and my stepdad had the other one as an office. My mom and stepdad's bedroom was the attic, and mine was the basement. My little sister was always scared to go to sleep because she said that a dripping wet little girl was always stirring at her through the closet. I think she meant staring. My little stepbrother was always scared of the house. He hated visiting. He would cry that he didn't want to burn and would avoid the attic because that's where the fire was. Along with a mean man that was burnt, he would say. One day I was walking home from school and I looked up, and in the sunroom on the back of the house, I saw a woman. She was wearing a big round hat, just like what people like to wear for derby, and a slender dress. She looked at me for maybe a few seconds and was gone. I ran to the porch wondering if I saw what I thought I saw. Our dog, Angel, was always growling at the walls and ceiling. I'd always have to carry her to the basement and race up the stairs to close the door. She hated the basement. One night I was sleeping and Angel was at the foot of the bed. She started growling and her hair was standing up. She stood up and I watched her whole body move and look dead at me. I told whatever it was that I was not in the mood and to go the hell away. Angel then watched whatever it was go into the storm room. She laid back down and never took her eyes away from the storm room. I laid my head down and went back to sleep. A few weeks later, a few of my friends came over. We did a video in the basement. We asked questions for a little while. They went upstairs and sat down and talked. I think maybe for an hour. We went down and got the video and brought it up the stairs and watched it. You could tell the difference between us walking and the unseen moving around. We heard a child crying, someone clapping, and heavy wood moving and slamming hard into the concrete floor. We heard nothing with our own ears. Thank you for reading. I can't wait to hear more stories on your podcast.
Maybe the ghosts are haunting you because they're encouraging you to get more Kentucky Fried Chicken.
You were waiting for a Kentucky Fried Chicken joke that entire story, because the word Kentucky came up and suddenly her eyes lit up with joy and she comes and just jumps at the microphone. And I was afraid I'm going to have to like turn it off because I'm waiting for her to knock it over. She's like just seething, like, I got a joke and I want to tell a joke. And you're just like, when's the story going to be done, Dad? I can just hear it in your head. When's the story? Is it going to be done? Is this the end, Dad? I'm like, no, honey, it's not done. I'm mentally telling you this as I'm reading the story. And I'm like, I got a quick one. This will be good. It's going to be good. And it's just going through your mind, crazy, crazy, crazy. And then finally, I love hearing the stories on your podcast. I know why the ghost is doing it. Kentucky Fried Chicken. We're all like, oh, okay. That's a good one, honey. I'm imagining it sounded much better in your head early on.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Yeah.
I got a joke, Daddy. That's what's going through your mind, isn't it?
Another joke I had in my head is like, the best way to get rid of ghosts is eat buttered toast.
How is that funny?
Because I like bread.
What? The best way to get rid of ghosts is to eat buttered toast. Are you saying because it rhymes?
Yeah.
Get rid of ghosts, eat buttered toast. Is that the joke? Oh, okay. No, just so the answer is because it rhymes. It's not because I like bread.
Although I do like
bread. Well, we know you like bread, but that's not the answer to the question. Like, why is this funny? Because I like bread. I don't know. You're a nut.
I'm a different species.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to another episode, another letter on the program. When I was in high school, my best friend and I had a sleepover at her house. Her house was a very old, small house. My friend had a twin bed that had another bed that would roll out from underneath it, so it was low on the ground. She had two brothers, one older and one younger. One night, I was sleeping over at her house and suddenly woke up to what felt like a hard kick to the bed I was sleeping on. I assumed it was her older brother messing with me, and he often did. I looked up quickly, and no one was there. My next thought was that maybe it was my friend that had accidentally kicked it. When I looked over at her, she was completely asleep at the other edge of the bed, so it obviously wasn't her. I didn't think much of it, figured it was probably my imagination, and went back to sleep. The next morning, I was waiting for my mom to come pick me up since we were too young to drive. I was sitting on a chair in my friend's bedroom with her sitting across from me on her bed. She was starting to tell me about a dream that she had about a boy when I saw what looked like her younger brother, a small boy that looked about 7 or 8 with very light blonde hair. I saw him looking at me as if peeking from behind the kitchen door. And when he saw that I saw him, he quickly hid behind the door. I ignored whatever my friend was telling me and motioned to her to be quiet as I was slowly sneaking into the kitchen quietly to scare her little brother. I went in the kitchen and yelled, "Boo!" And no one was there. There was another door that led into the kitchen, and I could see the only door the entire time since I saw him staring at me. I was very confused because there was no way he could go out of the kitchen without me seeing him. I turned around and I saw her younger brother come in the house from the street. I asked if he was just in the kitchen and he said he was down the street at his friend's house. I felt goosebumps all over my body. My friend asked what happened. As I started to tell her, and she quickly interrupted me and asked if I saw a boy that looked a lot like her brother. And I said yes. She then began to tell me again what she was trying to tell me when I interrupted her, and I went into the kitchen. She said that since they started working on the roof of her house, they opened the small door that led to the attic, which was in her bedroom above the dresser. She said one morning she woke up and there was dust on the top of the dresser that had fallen when they opened the attic door. She said it looked like a small child's footprint on the dust, and ever since she kept dreaming of a boy that looked like her brother. From then on, at least for a long time after, we had all the sleepovers at my house. I have a few more stories about seeing small children that weren't there. I'll tell you about those another time. I love your show. Thank you for listening.
Okay. So the whole, like, little boy, like, in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if, like, a little kid just, like, broke into your into their house and just knew where to hide.
Just, like, knew all the hiding spots?
Yeah.
I He does make you wonder a little bit sometimes about...
how much of this is just real people intruders. Being weird?
Just intruders and creepy people. Or it's like there's someone in the shadows and the room was really dark anyhow. Then they went out the front door. It was a ghost. No, it was an intruder.
Little Tom.
No, but I think there's a lot of times where I certainly think it is definitely something. And you can usually tell. It's like the door doesn't open and suddenly the thing's gone. It's rare where like... things like doors are actually serving a purpose other than just being there. With this, it's something seems to be going on.
Yeah.
But as to what, who, how, all that, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Here at Real Ghost Stories Online, let's go to a caller. Hi.
This is Samantha from Southwest Florida. I recently found your podcast and I'm absolutely intrigued with it. It's very interesting. I'm very interested in the paranormal. However, after past experiences, choose not to go in first person. I'm wanting to tell you a story that happened to me when I was around 17 years old. We were hanging out with friends that had a family home that was still owned by the family. However, it was their grandparents' house that had passed away. We went into the house, even though we weren't supposed to be there, and a friend, the friend that family owned the house, wanted to use a Ouija board, which we all know is not a good idea. My mother has always been, I guess as most people call it, sensitive, and seemed to have passed it down to me. So I led the board as we opened it, and very quickly we got something on. When we got something on, it revealed itself to be bad. I wanted to close the board, and everybody else decided not to. And so from peer pressure, I decided to let it go. The person / spirit / whatever revealed itself to be an entity named Jim. When we started to talk to it, we went through the basic 1, 2, and 3 questions and answers. But during this entire experience, I felt a very nasty, cold feeling all down my back and arms and wanted to close the board. I verbalized this many times. Unfortunately, it took about 10, 15 minutes before anything actually led us to having to come anywhere near close to closing the board. End of the day, somebody pulled up in the driveway in the house we were in. We weren't supposed to be in. Everybody jumped, leaving an open board with no hands on it. And I believe at that time, something crossed through. That night we were in the house and my friend's boyfriend told us, you know, if you hear anything spooky, please let us know. Let me know. Wake me up. I will try and protect you, whatever. Well, I had a dream that we were in that house and that something was roaming through it and then hovering above us. And then it focused in on me and tried to come into me. At that point, I woke up screaming. Nobody else woke up, not even the friend's boyfriend. I didn't sleep for the rest of the night. I felt like something was watching me the entire night. It was a very terrible experience. So a couple nights passed, and I felt very odd through those days. And we wound up back at that same house, same entire party, the whole nine. And I was laying there on my side talking to my friends, and my foot started to twitch. And not like a normal twitch, it was very odd. And it continued to do that, and then all of a sudden, I felt something very, very quickly and ferociously penetrate my foot. And I felt something start moving up my leg. When it did, I leaned forward and my hand hit the ground, and it was a shock, almost like static electricity times 100. And every natural instinct in me started to scream, no, 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 stop, it's trying to get into me. Everybody in the house got up and ran out the front door, and I followed, and whatever was happening stopped. And everybody was very confused. We got outside, and everybody was asking me what was going on, and I told them that I felt something trying to enter me, same as it happened in the dream. Well, while we were out there talking, we had an S10 Blazer, and we had a four-wheeler. And the four-wheeler, which was right next to the Blazer, suddenly creaked and dropped down a couple inches as if something had sat on it. At that point, everybody loaded up into the Blazer, terrified because there was nothing sitting on the back of that four-wheeler. We all took off, and we got out of an area that we call the ranchettes. And I started to feel better. Now, I've always felt like there was something wrong with this particular subdivision, which is kind of horse property and whatnot, but I don't know a whole lot about the history about it, but every time we were in that subdivision, things were wrong. And in this part of Florida, there's a lot of redneck mudding and all of that. So at night, we go out in the blazer, and over the next few nights, I just kept feeling like there was always something with us, and more specifically, something with me. And one night, as we were going through, probably 2-3 days after the incident with the Ouija board, I saw a man in 1700s garb walking across the road, and my friend drove through him on the four-wheeler. And I knew immediately that that was who we had spoken to on the Ouija board. I freaked out and told everybody there's something very wrong and that I felt like this thing was attached to me. And as a child, I had had nightmares of something dark hovering over my left shoulder. And suddenly it felt very, very, very true. Over the next couple weeks, I dealt with friends that were Wiccans and all sorts of different things. Everybody had a solution to my problem, but none that stuck. People that wanted to salt my windows and doors, but I felt more like they had locked something in with me than kept something out. Eventually, I will say that I had a friend, and not a close friend, but a friend that really showed up and told me that I needed to realize that whatever this thing was needed me. It is attached to me for a reason, and that I needed to focus on my faith and myself and my strength. And eventually, me focusing in on that, I was able to relieve myself of this problem. I know that sounds strange, but really having faith and realizing that nothing attaches to you unless it needs you made a very, very, very big difference. I am now 38 years old. I have a daughter that is very young, and I will make it every bit of my business to make sure that she does not ever, ever, ever cut near a Ouija board or anything else. Immediately after this whole incident, I had sleep paralysis for the first time. The sleep paralysis went on and on for close to 6 months. My mother, God bless her, having the abilities that she does, was able to help me to learn how to fight back in this sleep state. Because while sleep paralysis is supposed to be such and such, technically, it felt more like whatever it was that we contacted them and the Ouija board was trying to attack me. And each night as the sleep paralysis happened, and it was every night, every time I tried to sleep, every time I went to take a nap, this thing was there. And my mom taught me how to fight back and yell back at it. And the first time that I was ever able to speak back at it, I was able to stop the sleep paralysis. And that's something that I think your listeners should really learn about, because you have the ability inside of yourself to take control if there is, in fact, something else making this happen. So between rebuilding my faith and my strength in myself and learning how to fight back, I was able to rid myself of this thing. And as I said, I have a young daughter that I will absolutely make sure is educated without scaring her, but will also know that it is absolutely not okay to ever touch a Ouija board. And for any of your listeners, I cannot explain the amount of terror that I went through for these months, because it wasn't just what I've spoken of in this call. There was something with me all the time, and it was awful. And I thank God, quite literally, that I am clear of this now, and it is for my faith and my prayer and my belief in God and his strength within me that I'm rid of it. Anyway, I do want to become an EPP. I'm hoping to be able to do that soon. Hopefully within the next month. Actually, I'm hoping it'll be a birthday present for my boyfriend, which will be coming up very soon. And in the meantime, thank you so much for everything you do. I hope that you both have a wonderful night and a wonderful show. Thank you always for keeping me busy and keeping my mind occupied.
Well, thank you for that. We do appreciate, and I hope you can become an EPP at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. I like the, trying to educate without scaring, which is, you know, what I did every night for you. I just played my show back in your crib. So as you were going to sleep, when you were a baby, you would just hear, you know, me talking about ghosts.
Really?
Every night. Yeah.
Did this actually happen?
It was instead of lullaby music, it was, you know, talks of Amityville, you know, demonic possessions, things like that. I figure, you know, we'll get you educated early and then you'll want to do this. I was brainwashing you from an early age. No.
Okay.
No, I did not. No, you didn't. I did not do that.
Okay. But first of all, on a four-wheeler, your friend drove through the apparition of a man.
Mm-hmm. Not me, but that's what there's part of their story.
Yeah, but still, what if that was a real person?
Well, I'm guessing it kind of just showed up in a way that, you know, it wasn't, you know, I think you would swerve to avoid it if you could, but sometimes too on a four-wheeler when you're going, I mean, you can get injured very easily if you do a maneuver like that. So if it suddenly just popped up, yeah, I mean, if you don't want to die, it's best to keep plowing unless, you know, there's a way to safely not plow yourself or kill yourself too. Yeah. My goodness. But that's where you look out and you try to, you know, if there's something jumps up in front of you like that, like a deer. It's like hit the deer or hit the tree, which is, you know, you got a split second to think about it.
Deer.
Yeah. That could kill you too. It's just kind of like, what's the least of the war? Yeah. All right. So it's interesting, that whole thing. And I guess she's also wouldn't be a big proponent of us, painting the pool like a Ouija board and then floating around on it, with a planchette inner tube. That might be kind of bizarre. Might be something people would question. Right. She would not be cool with that. I think that would work.
At
like
one
you're
point,
in
yeah.
there and like the flow is just going around like, oh my gosh, spelling with the flow.
Like everyone like has hands like on the
oh my god thing. Everybody's hanging on to like the planchette raft and the planchette raft like that's even better oh
we want to play pool Ouija board.
Yeah, wow, that would be bizarre.
We need a Ouija board bill instead of the bunk bed bell. We need an Ouija board
well
bell.
The bell's already been used for the bunk bed, so it needs to be some other thing.
We need another bell.
The foghorn, the Ouija foghorn, like scare the living crap out of you the second I just hit it without warning. It's like right in front of me, just blows the and then we'll have you on camera every time and just your physical reaction. That'd be great. Yeah.
Harper's many heart attacks with a foghorn.
Yeah, I wouldn't. There wouldn't be child protective services at my door for that one or anything. So the other thing I thought was interesting about what she was talking about positivity to keep the negative away. And I think that's very, very true, because a lot of people, when they have attachments, it keeps them down and they stay down. And she is right. If you are able to pull yourself up and pull yourself out and sometimes faking it until you make it, that can be powerful. And sometimes you need some help to do that. Sometimes that's where, you know, relationships with other beings, other human beings, other beings in the sky. No, but other human beings, and having that one-on-one, being able to talk things out, being able to make sense of life, things like that, there are steps to pull yourself back up. There always are. And they're not always easy, but if you can do that and get yourself up above, then these things aren't going to want to be attracted to you. It's kind of like wasps, you know, if you, or bees or anything that's going to be attracted to something sweet, flies, whatever it may be. If you have a patio table outside and you pour a ton of honey all over it, and you see bees and other bugs being attracted to it like crazy, that's to be expected. You can be very disappointed, and you feel like, I wish they'd go away. I want to use this table and all that. But that's kind of the analogy. You got to start learning how to wipe that sticky crap off of your life and try to pull yourself up. I know it's not easy. I know it's not turn that frown upside down in any way, stretch, or form. But trust me, I've done it too, of pulling yourself up out of a depression state, and it's hard. But when you're down in those areas, I think that's true. I think more things are likely to be attracted to you. More things, I mean, dark areas will be attracted to you. And that's designed to kind of keep you down. But that's the thing. There is a way to do it, but it takes a lot of work. And the more positive things you can surround yourself with, people, entertainment, whatever it is you're doing, those are the ways to kind of start elevating, I guess people say, like, your light or whatever. And then if you get that better, you know, the bees aren't going to want to go there if there's no more honey, or the bugs aren't going to want to go there either. You may like bees. I'm not trying to put bees in a bad light, but if they're trying to sting you and they're sitting all over your table, that may not be the best thing.
Then that world can just be to the bees.
Yeah.
Let the bees.
Yeah, let it be.
Bee pox.
Okay. You're early on that one. That's coming up in next spring. Next spring is going to be the bee pox. You get stung by a bee, you'll get the bee pox. Get your vaccine today. How many people have it? 3. What? Are you sure? Well, they got a rash. We're calling it bee pox. Okay, yeah. Everyone, go get it quickly. I'm not anti-vax. I've taken my vaccines. I just find it bee hard to believe pox. Anything. I find it hard to believe much of anything anymore. And I know that these, you know, this stuff is real. I've always been very... we've been lied to a lot. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus material, extra stuff, and to help keep this program on the air. It's all commercial free. Do it at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.